really wonderful to be here. So if you would turn in your Bibles, please, to Matthew 27. In verse 57, the Word of God says, now I call it the Word of God for a reason. And that's because it is the Word of God. As a pastor, and as a scientist, I frequently hear challenges to the Word of God. People say it's not like this, it's like this. People say it's not really all God's Word, it contains God's Word. Sometimes people say this theory explains the Bible. And it's different than what the Bible says. But all of those voices are distractions. And so we don't listen to those voices. But sometimes the voices sound authoritative. But the tone of the voice does not reflect the authority of God. As pastors, and pastors in training, we must be confident that this is the Word of God. As it is written, no changes. Philosophy is not greater than the Bible. Science is not greater than the Bible. My opinion is not greater than the Bible. It is the Word of God. Now, when we say that, we have to understand something. The Word of God is the Word of who? It's the Word of God. This is the God who created. This is the God who gave life. This is the God who is everywhere present. This is the God who the angels worship. This is the God who came to earth. And this is the God who bore my sins. That's the word of that God. And we need to be confident in that. Because if it hasn't happened to you yet, it will happen. That someone tells you this is not really the Word of God as written. That is the voice of the distractor. Now, I don't have to be a trained scientist to be able to answer a trained scientist. Because the scientist needs the same thing that everybody else does. He needs to know that God loves him, that Jesus died for him, and that he's the Savior. The scientists are no different than anyone else. But for some reason, we Christians can be intimidated by them. We think they know something. They know more than I do. And this may be true. A lot of people know more than I do. But none of them knows more than God knows. And the Bible gives me the mind of Christ. So I can be someone who left school at 10 years old. But I can have the mind of Christ. And in the mind of Christ, I find the answers. Actually, this message is changing from what I thought I was going to preach. 2 Timothy
3:16.
All scripture is breathed out by God. All scripture is breathed out by God. So how do I answer someone who says, well, maybe in Genesis chapter 1 there is a gap between 1:1 and 1:2. Maybe God just caused the Big Bang to originate everything. Now, as someone who knows the Bible, I know that's not true. But maybe I don't know how to answer them. Well, here is the answer. It doesn't matter. You see, one of the things about the intellectual arguments and the highly educated people is that often they lose the simplicity of faith. But Jesus said that unless I receive what he says as a child, then there is no place in the kingdom. How many have children in your family, maybe? Some children. Or maybe here at the children's home. You take care of little children. How many? Does anyone? Okay, well, if you don't, then at least you have seen this, I know. You have a 4-year-old little child. And they ask their mother, what is this? Or their mother says, do this. or she says, this is what is right. From that time forward, that is established in that child's mind. That this is what is right. And you cannot convince that child. That something else is true. That child knows that what mommy said is right. A child like faith works exactly like that. I'm confident in the Bible because God said it. And as it is written, is right. And simplicity of truth. And we receive it in simplicity of faith. So if you don't know how to answer the scientist, turn to the Word of God. Because that is the only authority that we have. Now, to some people, that might not be satisfying. But consider this. That in John chapter 1, the Word of God became alive. Consider this. When we see Jesus in heaven, on his forehead and on his thigh, is written his name. It's the Word of God. So when we turn to the Word of God as our authority, we turn to God as our authority. The scientist or the intellectual needs what the simple child needs. He just doesn't believe as easily. But it doesn't mean that he needs it any less. One of the things I've learned is that my intellect is worthless. One of the things that I've learned is it doesn't matter how long I've been in college. I really don't know anything. It was interesting the other night. I talked about a little bit of science. And people were very kind. And they say, we like what you taught us. But the truth of the matter is, even though I'm trained in science, I really don't know anything. Now, the sooner that I learn that I know nothing, the better off I am. Because then it's not my responsibility to answer. It becomes God's responsibility to speak. Don't worry if you don't know the answers. Just be available to the Holy Spirit. He might not tell you all the reasons why evolution is wrong. He might not tell you all the reasons why the Big Bang did not happen. He might not give you a science education while you are speaking to someone on the street. But when you open your mouth to share the gospel with anyone at all, He will fill your mouth with words. From the throne of God. From the heart of God. Words that that person needs to hear. And maybe they don't even know that that's what they need. One of the things I have found as a scientist and as a pastor is that when people ask me science questions and how does science agree with the Bible, and how is it that the Bible is right if the science is something different, or maybe they ask me a question about was it really one day, or was it maybe thousands or millions of years? What I found is that in most cases, that's not their real question. The real question that they have is, how do I believe? How do I accept the Word of God? Scientists are saying this. One group of Christians is saying this. Another group of Christians is saying this. So how do I believe the Word of God? And the answer is, with a childlike faith. Probably at some point, if you run into these types of people, you might think, I want to prove it. I wish I knew more science. So that I could prove it. But I'll tell you something. You can be Albert Einstein. Or you may know all the science in the world. You will never prove it. Do you know why? Because the Bible is not proved with science. God offers only one proof. God does not offer any other proof than this one thing. A simple, childlike faith. We believe. There's the proof. We believe. Don't be distracted by what people who sound authoritative say.
Or
Authority is only in the Bible. You may wish that you had their authority by knowing the science they know. Here's the problem with that. Science doesn't offer you authority. Only the Bible does that. So you have boldness because you know His Word. You don't have to question, is Genesis chapter 1 correct? God said it, it's correct. You don't have to question any of it if it is correct. God said it, it's correct. Now, sometimes people will not find that satisfying. But you know, Albert Einstein was perhaps the greatest scientist in history. And he found amazing things. And he understood things that we still don't understand today. But he never found the Savior. All his science, amounted to nothing. Because it didn't give him simple childlike faith. One of the biggest challenges to faith is sight. And because I think probably people expect me to talk about science, I'll give you this little bit. Don't ever walk by sight. Don't walk by sight toward people. Don't walk by sight toward circumstances. Always operate in faith. It doesn't matter what things look like. Always operate in faith. Do you know why? Because you can't see. This is a strange thing to say. You're all looking at me. And you're thinking, I can see. I see you. I see this room. I see the people in this room. No, you don't. You think you can, but you can't. You see, this is the deceptive nature of walking by sight. You think you can see, but you can't. Scientists have shown us that of our visual field, of the things that are around us in our vision, we see only a maximum of 10%. I can't see you. I can only see a maximum of 10%. That's not very much to work with. How many people think that the eyes can see? The eyes cannot see. Eyes are not designed to see. Eyes are designed to receive light. But they cannot see the light they receive. But the light the eyes receive, goes to the back of the eye. There are special nerve cells in the back of the eye. And in those cells, a chemical reaction takes place when there is light. That chemical reaction is sent to another nerve cell. And that other nerve cell, in response, sends an electrical impulse. And that impulse goes to the back of the brain. In the back of the brain, the different impulses are separated. For example, in this room, you can see vertical lines. You can see horizontal lines. Okay. You can see all kinds of different lines. You can see diagonal lines. Each of them produces a different electrical impulse. All these millions of impulses are traveling to the back of the brain. The brain separates them. And it sends them to different areas of the brain. And those different areas of the brain give meaning to the electricity. And then they send a signal back to the back of the brain, and they say, this is what it means. And it makes a nice picture. Now, here's the thing. You can only see 10%. So I cannot see this complete line. I see maybe 10% of that line. And when the signal is sent to a specific area of the brain, the brain goes to a mental library. And it finds, what does this mean? And it sends that information back to the back of the brain. And that information is this little bit means this. Because that's what's in the library. But sometimes it's wrong. Have you ever been in a situation where you see something from the side of your eye and you say, oh, that was a cat or that was a dog or something, and then you look again and there was no cat? Did that ever happen to you? Okay. The brain gave you wrong information. And so it produced the wrong picture. Because sight is only about perception. And as long as the information is reliable, the perception may be good. But if the information is not reliable, then the perception is not good. And so that's how sight works also. What you think you see is interpreted in the library of your perception. If your perception is given to you from the Word of God, then you will have the right information. But if it's given to you by something different, then it's the wrong information. And so the Word of God says that the just live by faith. That we do not live by sight. Because sight is the wrong information. We have the frame of reference in the Word of God. And it becomes the way that we think. When the Word of God is our frame of reference, then we live in what Galatians 5:20 calls the faith of the Son of God. But unless that is our frame of reference, we have no capacity to think in faith. This is why Romans 10:17 says that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word. There is a reason why the Word of God is our final authority. It's the only source of the right information. And it is the only way that I can have the mind of Christ. The mind of Christ is better than the mind of a great scientist. So, to have the mind of Christ is to have the same mind that had the intelligence, the creativity, the understanding, the skill and the ability to create the universe. To take something and make it alive. Can you imagine how creative God's mind is? That it could create something like the eye, or like a heart, or anything else. Can you imagine how creative the mind of God is? That it could create something as simple and so complicated. As an atom. And that's not even the beginning. You see, the mind of God has given to us in the Bible is far greater than the mind of Einstein. Or any other genius that the world has. But we can possess it in simple, childlike faith. Never be intimidated by what some educated person tells you. I don't care if they have 5 PhDs. You have the mind of Christ. And that is far greater. Amen.